Welcome to Intrepid Scoundrels, an actual play podcast of the Scum and Villainy RPG. I'm Jason, and I'll be your GM.
I'm John, and I'm playing Ezequiel De La Cruz, a rough-and-tumble scoundrel.
I'm Mark, playing Duncan Brell, your ship's mechanic.
I'm Scott. I'm playing Brylan Chencott, also called Bry or BC at Grizzled Stitch.
I'm John R. I'm playing Wyndham Whoosh Woo, the ace pilot of the Intrepid.
I'm Tim, and I'm playing Rail Card, the human mystic with a dark and mysterious past.
I'm Ron, and I'm playing Jenksus Biogeny, a down-on-his-luck mayor and the group's muscle.
And now, on to the episode. And welcome to the episode, everybody. When we last left our intrepid scoundrels, they had just found the Imperial cache and had gotten all of the armor and weapons and ammo out of it, as well as a mysterious Jedi artifact, a holocron. It was a bit of a challenge to get away from the Imperial cache after that because of various Sith and Hutt interference. But you escaped. You made your way back to Wiaco and the planet from which contact Zem Danago was where you could sell all of this stuff, and you got a bunch of delicious cred for that. We did our downtimes, which was most important for Rail and BC, because they studied this holocron because it was all fragmented and whatnot, and got some information out of it, how it is a sort of a collection of memories, records from a planet known as Lanilia, a sort of a High Republic Jedi settlement, where some kind of plague or disaster swept through, killing everybody, it seems. So you've got these sort of coordinates for this planet, and basically, what do you want to do with that?
Have the coordinates been lost? Is this like new that we even know where this place is?
You're pretty sure it's in the same system as the Imperial Cache planets, because there was there's maps that you saw in there that had like one of these nearby planets that had the High Republic symbol on it. So you think the Empire was sort of like studying it, kind of knew that it existed. Maybe they weren't necessarily probably interested in like archaeology at the time, but they were keeping an eye on it just in case something, yeah, you know, because it was abandoned and, you know, long abandoned and nothing much going on there, so they thought. Or yeah, you know, perhaps they knew something you don't.
Okay, so it's not like an El Dorado where nobody had even knows where it is. They know where it is. It's fallen into ruin.
Yeah, it's like a ruined city that no one would go to anymore. But I mean, not that people, you know, there's a lot of space, right? So sometimes these things just kind of fall off the general record, and it's not like it's completely unknown and mysterious, but it isn't like well traveled or visited in any way whatsoever.
Is it possible that the plague, you know, information that it had a plague, just people just avoid it like
it's
the
possible.
Plague.
Yeah. It's possible. I mean, there's it's also possible that maybe like there's some sort of, you know, force barrier to make it kind of like slide off the mind. People just don't think about it, you know, they maybe fly past it and say, oh, that's just a planet, don't worry about it, you know.
Okay.
Kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have to go.
Yeah, I think we have to go.
Okay. Yeah. It could be a treasure trove of information, but also there could be some artifacts there that are worth selling. Who knows? So you all hop into the Intrepid, set the astronav coordinates, get into hyperspace. You know, obviously this is also some other time passing, and you come into orbit, and this is fairly, you know, sort of in the Goldilocks zone of planets, right? It looks like it is a you know, got some greenery and some water and whatnot. Looks like a pretty pleasant scene from orbit. And Rail, immediately, sort of like as the ship comes out of hyperspace and you guys are just kind of getting into orbit, immediately you get kind of a call almost in your mind. It's not quite a voice, but it is feel like a beckoning. I think BC, you can kind of vaguely feel it too.
Yeah.
It's giving you sort of a landing spot, essentially, calling you to this one portion of the planet.
Okay. I believe we have possible coordinates for a landing.
Yeah, kind of look at it and like point at the.
All right, let's check it out.
Coordinate viewer and be like,
you getting this name one? Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Wyndham plugs in the coordinates. You guys sort of land. There's a landing pad there. It doesn't look like there's any old ships on it. Whatever, if there were ships, they've long since gone. But you can see a lot of this High Republic architecture in ruins. More not so much like attacked or that sort of thing, but more like crumbling through age and weathering and whatnot. Yes, I feel like someone was about to say something.
I was going to say, obviously, they did not seal their ruins here well enough to prevent the weather getting to it.
Well, this has been a really long time, too. I'm going to make sure that
how long has it been?
Centuries, at least.
Well, wow. If we're going to go explore, I'm going to be very well equipped. Heavily equipped, you might say, because...
All right, okay.
Oh.
Let me tell you, Hokey religion and ancient weapons are no match for having a good blaster at your side, they say.
All right.
It sounds like you stole that from somewhere.
You don't necessarily need to be picking your load out at this second, but, if you want to, ahead of time, go for it. So this architecture that you're seeing sort of like maybe as you're stepping out is very grandiose. It's kind of Art Deco. There's like tall buildings, tall statues. Also think of the two statues that are flanking that river at the end of Fellowship of the Ring, mm-hmm. But very, very... it's sort of weird. It's still future, quote unquote futuristic. They still had spaceships and whatnot, but it definitely feels older than any other place that you've ever been to. There's sort of a courtyard there in front of you, leading up to some steps, some buildings. That's sort of what this looks like is a smallish kind of city. It doesn't look as, obviously it's not as huge as Coruscant because that's the whole planet, but like any it's only maybe like marginally bigger than Wiaco City, right? Like this, that sort of like backwater Mos Eisley sort of space, almost as if this were like either an outpost or this area is just sort of like a very spread out kind of like spaceport, but it doesn't look like it's an entire. It doesn't look quite big enough to be like a huge Jedi city.
Could a lot of it be underground?
A lot of it could be underground. It could be elsewhere, right? This is just sort of the landing pad that you are directed to by this sort of echo, one might say, in the minds of the Force sensitive.
Well, it might mean there's something here.
Well, we should look around.
Do we step out of the ship? Am I getting a direction? Am I getting go this way?
You're being sort of called a little closer to the sort of stairs that lead up to more of this city, this small port. And as you get a little closer to that, a force ghost kind of materializes in front of you. This glowing blue lady, she's definitely dressed in sort of High Republic robes of the Jedi style that are flowing. She's got kind of like another sort of, y'all know what a chasuble is?
A what?
It is a
no.
It is a sort of a priestly garment that is essentially that cloth that like Catholic priests kind of wear around their necks, right? That is just, it's like a scarf that you don't put around fully around your, you know, tie up or anything.
Oh, and it hangs down in front of you.
And it kind of hangs down in front of you. Yeah, that's a, she's got kind of got one of those. It looks like a almost like a vestments of state, or more than it is, more than something religious. And she's reaching out to you, Rael, and she's, I sense the force within you. Yes, perhaps yes. You are the one who has just arrived here.
I did. We just came in that ship.
This is a place that is of danger to ones like yourself, but perhaps the Force has brought you here for a reason, and you can assist in purging the plague that laid Lanilia low oh so many centuries ago. Forgive me, I've gotten ahead of myself. My name is Alethea June. I am a Jedi counselor.
And let's.
What is your name?
Maybe we should circle back to that Dane. Jinx is bad, Jenny's my name. I'd like to quickly get that danger point you mentioned, though, in case there's something. I kind of look furtively around, like that some danger might appear.
It is a danger of the spirit, my friend, and not as much of a danger of the body, but one that could lead to terrible violence.
Good, and if my understanding is correct, also already has in the past.
Indeed, it has. Yes, and it is something that you will need to worry about. But here at this port building, that you will, it is possibly at its weakest. Once you head deeper, further into one of our cities, you might feel it more.
Ah, so there are more in this location or somewhere on this planet.
Yes, on this planet, yes.
Well met, Alethea. I am Freeland. You can call me BC.
BC, I sense a bit of the force within you as well.
I've been curious about it for a long time, studying it, and most recently especially through my friend here, I've gained more understanding of it, and I'm somewhat sensitive to it.
Well, welcome to Lanilia, all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is there a reason for us to attempt to confront whatever this is that's been happening?
It would be my hope that someone would come. I've been waiting here for many, many decades. That someone could come and purge this disease, this plague from the planet, so that I and all the other Jedi who were here can finally be at rest. Their spirits have been cut off from the Force, in a manner of speaking, due to some horrendous Sith influence. You see, Lunelia used to be a bustling metropolis. Used to contain bustling metropolises of Jedi studying, living together, working with one another to bring peace to the galaxy. But then it was also a place where our weapons were manufactured. And there came a Kyber crystal to Lunelia that was infected with Sith influence. Unfortunately, it is a process, an unfortunate incident known as bleeding. And this bleeding, well, it corrupted the minds of many of our greatest Jedis, turned them to the dark side, corrupting all other Kyber crystals, and from there spread like a plague, like a virus. And there was fighting in the streets where you had to slay one another in order to survive. But it was no survival. Eventually, all of us were laid low. There may have been a few people who escaped if they were lucky, but I myself held back a few of my closest and oldest friends here at this spaceport, where I was cut down to make sure that some of the younglings could escape. So I need you to find this Kyber crystal and purge it, cleanse it.
Well, after the story of yours, ma'am, I think I speak for all of us when I say, what's in it for us?
You see around you a society that was once great in technology and learning. I'm sure there are many things here that you may find that could enrich you both spiritually and financially if you have the wherewithal to find a place that would purchase said artifacts. I know of a place particularly nearby that I will tell you of if you can help me with this noble quest.
All right, I'm interested.
I'm noble, sold. Noble quest for money. I kind of like the ring of that.
I do wonder, though, if an entire location full of Jedi could not overcome this thing. I wonder what chance we have.
Well, not all of you are will be as susceptible to its influence, and I sense that some of you, those of you who are, may be just untrained enough, raw potential power, to be able to resist it. It's also been centuries. It is weaker than it was, this bleeding, than it was when it laid my planet low.
So what you're
but then again,
is
you might fail.
It's a thing that, so it's from the Kyber crystal, so it does infect Kyber crystals?
Or it can, it, yes. It infects Kyber crystals and the minds of Jedi.
And Jedi mites, okay.
Yes.
So it's a Force-sensitive kind of plague or affliction.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Is it particularly centered in a place that we should go to?
There is an area, the city of Kata, and she can give you some. I can point it. It is not too far from here. That is the source. There you'll find at the center of the city in the manufacturing area, the original bleeding Kyber crystal. You must take that, fight off any influence that may come across. You may also find that there are others like myself who linger in this place, who are not as magnanimous as I. Find it. Then you will take it off of this planet to a temple on a world known as Urteth, where you will be able to perform a ritual to cleanse it once and for all.
Ritual? I mean, I'm untrained here. Is it like a simple ritual? It can be done by an untrained?
It is a relatively simple ritual. It is one of the main rituals that we use for aligning our Kyber crystals to each user. But once performed in the temple on Urteth, then it will cleanse the crystal.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I'm up to the task, but why not?
Well, you're kind of the only person we've got that'd be able to do it. But I guess even if we just get this crystal and we leave with it, then I don't know, hopefully natural healing powers can sort of take over. And
is there a way to, is there something like, so I look to our mechanic, like, is there a way to like construct a containment field for this?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't want to necessarily travel with this in the Intrepid.
We got to put it in a virus-proof box.
In close quarters. I would like to put it somewhere where we could be shielded from it. Because all hell breaks loose inside.
Put it in a bag and tie it to the back end?
Keep it on the roof of the Intrepid?
That's right. We got bungee straps.
And haul it behind? Yeah, sure.
Or maybe weld a containment field on the top. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's all sort of, yeah, up on the up for grabs there, I think, on the ideas that you might have.
So if I'm supposed to fight other force spirits, such as yourself, that's a new one for me. Any tips?
Do you have a lightsaber yet?
Yep. Just got it.
Well, you've had a lightsaber?
Yeah, I bought a lightsaber. While you guys were off gallivanting, doing whatever, I was on the station hunting this down.
Yeah, Ron, remember there was a point where Tim stabbed the lightsaber through the door, the hatch of the Intrepid, to get at the monkey ape. I keep saying monkey ape. I mean to say ape lizard. I keep saying ape monkey lizard. Ape, which
yeah,
makes no
I
sense.
Do remember. The ape I do lizard. Remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was very dramatic.
It was very dramatic. So yeah, we also have lightsaber for a couple sessions now. Altheus continues to sort of say, yes, you'll need to gird your mind against any tricks while you're there as well. As you know, the Force can cloud the minds of people, as well as, you know, throw them about or cause them to choke.
Okay. Well,
it is no light task I ask of you, and I understand that. But you are the only ones who have come to Lanilia who might have a chance of this. In many, many, many decades. So I have
what
hope.
Happened? What happened to all the others that came?
No one has come, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Once the planet was evacuated and I was slain, I have not seen another set foot on this world since then.
Wow. How is it that you're so lucid and uninfected, whereas others...
Force of will.
It seems like a rude question.
How come you weren't tempted by the One Ring? Yeah, she says it has been very difficult.
Well, let's see what we can do about that.
All right.
And I heard this money. I heard there's money.
Yes, this is a job. This is officially a job.
All right. Oh, sweet.
Okay, then.
It is an interesting and weird job, but it is one that you'll get paid for at the end of it for sure. This is now a good time for you to pick your loadouts and a good time for us to talk about your approach.
Well, if there's a lot of force ghosts running around in this city, maybe we want to be a little bit sneaky rather than just charging through. Mm-hmm. Our options are, Jason, I know there's a sort of a frontal attack. There's a diplomacy kind of route.
Yeah, infiltration is the stealthy one. Deception is more manipulation, tricking, con sort of way. Social is the diplomatic one. And mystical is another one. If you have some sort of engaging with the Force in some way to do this, that might be an initial approach.
I think we might do mystical.
All right. How exactly would you like to sort of use the force to sort of help you along the way?
It'll be all on me and BC.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll just start with. This is all just to begin. This is the how we see how the how you are after the initial engagement.
Well, can we?
I think we just
conceal ourselves with the force. Is that a thing? Can you put like a shroud around us?
I can try. I don't have I don't have a specific ability that does that.
No, but you can. We can say that you're tuning. You know, maybe with the help of BC. You know, you're using this sort of to sort of get yourself in a like not quite an invisible, but just more like concealed. Yeah, in some way from the other minds in the city.
Nothing here. Just boring. Just boring stuff here.
We're not from off world. Yeah, we're not the first people to be here in a long time. Nope.
Nope. Indeed. All right. All right. So we're going to say one dice.
We came back for some of our stuff. Don't mind us.
Just sort of going in there is pretty bold because you don't really know what you're expecting. So that's going to be a dice for you. I think, you know, maybe the Alfie has actually given you maybe a little bit of insight to sort of giving you a little bit of an indication of where to go in the city. She's not just sort of telling you, go to the city and find it, right? She knows she's not quite a full map, but sort of enough description. So that is going to be a third dice, but there's going to be a minus one die because of you're basically going into like the heart of a plague infested city that is essentially, you know, going to be assaulting your minds at all from all angles. So that engagement roll is going to be 2d6. Wait, did I say I added 3 and I subtracted 1? So that's actually, I didn't add 3. It started. Okay, it's 2d6. See how we go here. Double force, which is good. Which means you're just going to start in a sort of standard
fours.
Apparently the fours are with us.
The fours are with you. a standard sort of. It's risky where you're going to be heading out. So, sort of hop into some, let's say, barely functioning. You're able to sort of maybe get a little battery power to a kind of a monorail of sorts that leads to another settlement on this planet, not too far away. It's like maybe like a half hour ride or something like that on this sort of ancient Jedi monorail. And as you sort of come around, you can see this massive city. Again, sort of spires and towers rising up. It's very, very vertical, this city. Weathered, though, crumbling in some places, of course. Some of the vegetation of this planet has kind of crept in along the edges. So there's you know, streets are sort of choked with ivy and whatnot. And as you are kind of coming in, you can just feel something. Rail and BC specifically get this, it's like an oppressive kind of weighing on your mind, this feeling kind of weighing on your mind. Something is trying to, it's almost, you're almost hearing whispers, but not really getting words, just kind of this hackles on the back of your neck rising kind of vibe. The rest of you, everyone can feel it, right? But it's more palpable to Rail and BC.
Rail, I've got a bad feeling about this.
There you go. There's also, as you sort of come into this monorail station, it's elevated a bit, so you get a little bit of the view of the streets below. You do occasionally see these red figures. What look to be essentially like force ghosts, but glowing that sort of angry red of a red lightsaber. But they're not, they're not good. Like, they're, maybe you see them, someone walking like 10 steps and then disappearing, sort of appearing out of nowhere and disappearing. They're kind of flickering in and out.
Mm. Oh boy.
Can we gotta avoid those.
Avoid them, yeah. Like skulk about.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yes, I think where we're getting it. You know, you have to kind of cross through the city a little bit to get to the essentially the manufacturing, the lightsaber manufacturing plant, and from there, you know, who knows? But for the most part, if you want to try to avoid a lot of these ghosts, we can do a big old teamwork skulk. How does that sound?
Big old teamwork skulk sounds good to me.
Great. Who is going to be the leader in all of this?
Leader of the skulk?
Chief skulker.
Who's going to be?
I'm a two-shot skulker.
It almost doesn't matter how good you are when you're the leader, because everyone's going to roll. It's just who wants to be the one who's going to take the stress for those who fail.
Ooh,
I'll do it.
Okay. All right. Yes, our scoundrel, our resident scoundrel, knows how to like avoid patrols and make his way through the city. Great. So let's have everyone roll a risky standard skulk.
And if you have no dots in skulk.
If you have no dots, you're going to be rolling two dice and taking the worse of the two.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Ooh. Three.
Okay, that is everybody, I think. Great. So four is the highest one of the dice roll, which is four is the result for the group. Zeke, you are taking one, two, three stress from this because Jinxus and Rail and Duncan all kind of failed. It's nerve-wracking, this trek.
It's hard to just try to keep us to shut up long enough to...
No, it's just a matter of just sort of like moving at just the right times and, getting through... spaces, climbing over some rubble, maybe in a place or two. I think, Rail, you are getting this, these whispers kind of get growing in intensity, and maybe like once or twice you lash out a little bit in anger, just ooh. when Zeke shushes you or something, you know, you're getting a little ticked off with everybody.
Mm. Do I need to make an attune roll to like get myself under control?
Not yet. Not yet. Okay. There's not going to be too many defensive rolls. I'm going to make you. I'm just sort of putting this on you, and for when complications need to occur, I'm going to say that you know this is the sort of thing that might happen to you. I think though for everyone getting a four. What happens is, yes, of course, you're going to end up in a desperate position. So you're feeling like you're about, you know, you kind of know where to go. It's just a few blocks, essentially halfway across the city. You're getting about three quarters of the way pretty well. You're dodging, you know, it's tense. Zeke is sweating, trying to get everyone wrangled up, hurting all these cats.
Bullets, sweating bullets.
Sweating bullets, sweating laser beams. And you get about three quarters of the way when the concentration of these, let's call them Sith Force ghosts, kind of gets heavier. And you're almost in the sense of like, oh, this is just a big chunk of the population of the city. Like, you know, a during rush hour kind of situation where you're seeing all these ghosts. And you are not to the plant yet. And there's just no way forward without being seen. That's where you are. And you can't turn back either at this point, too.
There's no rerouting.
There's no getting, you can kind of sense that they're kind of surrounding you. Whether or not they've noticed you is not entirely clear, but there's a feeling that the city is growing angrier with you, kind of this animosity coming from almost the buildings themselves as well.
Wow.
Well, yeah, because it's rush hour.
Yeah, it's rush hour. What does everyone want to do?
Hide?
I don't know. Do you want to try to talk your way through this? Talk your way out of this?
Talk? No, I was thinking hide.
Oh, hide. I thought you said hi. I thought you were saying hi.
Hi. Go hide.
Well, hiding isn't going to get you any closer to your goal.
Yeah, right. I know.
Right.
It's not like we can wait this out.
Yeah.
Can I push extra hard to shield us?
All right. Like, yeah, great. This is, sounds like this is a good use of the attune now at this point. Yeah. Okay. You've been probably, you know, concentrating on skulking, but also concentrating on sort of holding up this kind of like, don't look at us force field. But now if you want to try to strengthen it, I will like take an attune roll. This is desperate, standard effect.
Okay. Would you welcome a bit of strengthening from another?
Oh, well, hell yeah.
If I spend a strap, I believe
that's great. Great idea.
Do we have, I will do we have
that. Gambit? Yeah, you have three, and you have three gambits to start with. So,
right. Well, I definitely
you can get both of those things. Yeah, great. Scott, spend your stress to give Tim a die.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then I'll spend another gambit to take another die. Yeah. So that's, three die, or that's going to be five. Altogether. Okay.
What could go wrong? Desperate, and don't forget, this is desperate action. You're going to get a little XP, but most importantly, let's see what the roll is.
Standard. Okay. Oh yeah.
A six. Well, that's okay. Yeah.
That is a success. So, you again sort of strengthen this field, and you can now like move, and you kind of move forward, almost like having a force field and kind of pushing into the ocean. There's a sea of these ghosts almost, and they're kind of, their features are kind of blending together. They're almost becoming a river of this sort of negative, this dark side force energy. And this bubble that you're kind of projecting around everyone is almost, becomes almost physical. And these force ghosts are kind of just sort of, maybe thinking they're walking, and they're kind of like just without realizing it, walking around your group, right? And so there's this almost like parting of a river around you, and all the, you know, basically these at this point these ghosts are like with almost within like touching distance, right? And they're looking at you, but they don't seem to be like seeing you. But you can all see the pure hatred and anger etched on their faces. These ghosts are tortured by this. But you push in, you push through, you make it the rest of the way to the sort of plant, essentially. It's not quite a sort of a full like automated manufacturing plant. It's almost like a space where there are many different little workshops. Right, like an artist's space, like an artist's enclave, and you can kind of like just kind of find the door. It's kind of cracked open a little bit. There's some plants growing through it, and sort of squeeze your way inside, and sort of, you know, getting away from the mass of force ghosts behind you, pushing in. In here,
does it leave behind that oppressive feeling as well, or is that carried
stepping
through even
into
here?
This building? Stepping into this building, it feels even more so.
Oh.
You can see these sort of individual cubbies sort of lining a sort of a central space. You know, many of you probably have not seen a lot of these tools because they're for manufacturing the hilts and whatnot for lightsabers. But you can definitely see like the some disused shells of those hilts, right? And what looked to be like almost like anvils and those sorts of like quaint blacksmithing tools. Clearly a little sci-fied up, of course. Ahead of you, sort of in a common space, a larger common space, is like it's a pile of these lightsaber hilts, cracked, broken metal. Some of them maybe made out of wood or glass or, you know, obsidian, that kind of stuff. Just a pile of them, like someone swept up a bunch of leaves, right? A pile that's good, like 3 or 4 feet tall, so it's probably twice that wide. Hovering kind of just at the tip of this pile is a crystal. You know, Rael, you recognize it sort of immediately as a kyber crystal. It's maybe about the size of a cell phone, right? It's not huge. And it's just kind of hovering there, but it is glowing this baleful red. It feels like an eye is kind of looking at you. as you step in.
Oh boy.
Do we just grab it? What do you think?
Shove it in a pocket.
I don't know. Yeah, we don't have anything to put this in. Oh, God.
It might start an apocalypse. No, that's too much.
I don't know. I think BC and I have to study this a little. I'm not... It's either
you want to study
from
where you are?
Or an attune. I don't want to attune anywhere near this, but... yeah, we may want to study that. I'm not very good in studying
well,
it.
I've spent a lot of my time studying.
Yeah.
NPC. So from where you are, you're doing this from a bit of a distance, unless you tell me you want to go up to it. But
what do you think?
So
We may want to get a little closer. I think we need to see what's going on with this. I just don't know how we can do it.
Now, are we the ones to do this? Or would it have an effect on any that are, I guess it would still potentially have an effect on
the others. It might be better that someone like the mayor here takes it because he'd be less affected by it. But I don't know. That's why I want to study it. I don't know. I'm not quite sure how we're going to approach this.
We'll go up to it. If it takes us over, you guys should take it.
Okay.
BC, you take like a couple steps closer, and like every couple of steps you take, and you all can see this. All if any of you take walk closer, it happens too. But like a couple steps you take, the crystal kind of like actually rises up like an inch or two, maybe up to a foot. The closer you get, the higher it sort of begins sort of floating above the top of this pile.
Maybe trying to be out of reach.
Yeah, give me a study. Roll. We're gonna call this. We'll call this risky standard.
Okay. I've got two on this one, so wondering if I can either grab something or have some help.
Anyone else want to spend stress to add a die?
I'm feeling pretty stressed out already.
Unless anyone's better at studying than me.
I could help.
Again, it doesn't really matter if you're good at the thing you're helping out with.
I will spend the stress
to be like, point some things out. I think Rail would probably like be the best one to study the ideas of this crystal, right? Because, you know, you know some stuff about this kind of thing. Or you've learned a little bit. You know, very little, yeah. Fair enough, yeah.
Ex-stormtrooper trying to figure out the force. Sure. There you go.
You didn't spend a gambit, so you get a gambit on that. Six. Mm-hmm. A success.
Six.
Yes. All right, BC. So you can definitely see that this, as you're getting a little closer, it almost looks like this red energy is bleeding out of this crystal. And it kind of dripping into this pile of lightsaber hilts. It is corrupted. You know, it's going to need to be cleansed. It didn't seem like Althea was lying for sure. But are you looking around a bit? You can definitely sense that, like, this is also a facility for sort of working with kyber crystals. You know, you could probably find some canister or maybe even throw it into a hilt in order to not touch it. I mean, getting it down is going to be the tricky part.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right, because it rises as we come up, trying to keep it stable.
Yes, and it's definitely going to be dangerous for anyone to touch it, whether they're force-sensitive or not.
So perhaps we can look around. There should be something we can contain it with. I mean, they work with these things. Hopefully there's something remaining.
Okay.
You got a success, so you know it's pretty easy to find. You know, maybe a set of tongs. A canister that looks like it might hold radioactive material. That kind of stuff is strewn about the place. Big oven mitts, exactly. Yeah, a lead-lined apron.
There, that would do over there. But
so, Is there anything in this facility? Because I'm looking to give our hand grubbing compatriots something to do. Is there anything that they can swipe? I mean, is there like a load of kyber crystals around here that's like sitting around, or spare unbroken lightsaber parts?
Yeah, we'll say that the sort of general scrounging is going to be part of the payoff of the job.
Okay.
Well, I'm assuming you're all doing, hey, you're going to spot some duranium steel ingots. Grab those, whatever, right? You know, like, I'm assuming you're kind of doing that. And
yeah,
Althea is going to point you to a larger, more interesting stash when the job is done. But
Don't overload yourselves. So now we need to get it down. There's not a ladder around here, is there?
So here's a thing that I can do.
Mm-hmm.
I can move Jedi fast.
Ooh.
Darn. And so I thought you were going to force throw someone at it to see if they can grab it.
I could do that too. That'd be fun. But but I could also propel myself. I can throw myself at it. And hopefully, I mean, as I do it, I could just scoop it up.
That's Scott, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What's something that BC regrets? Did he ever like, as he's working as a doctor? You were just still a student for the most part, right? You didn't actually get to be a full doctor?
Not officially, but he was. Officially, he had a lot of field.
Right, field experience.
Field experience.
Was there someone you maybe lost during that field experience? A patient of sorts that didn't make it?
Well, almost absolutely.
Fair enough. Something that really hounds BC's memories.
Yeah, you want specific?
Give me a touch of who that might be.
Off the cuff, so BC would be, I think, out exploring some things, looking for some more, you know, sort of force type information, and a fellow explorer that was along, you know, very jovial person, but ended up sort of having something fall on them that we thought was, you know, was solid,
but it wasn't.
There was some undermining to it, and it just could not save them, no matter what he tried to do.
So this young man, let's say, also force sensitive, but fellow explorer, tall, maybe, like, with a kind of like a some blonde hair that flops over to one side, aquiline nose. You can see him, right, standing by the pile of hilts right now. His face looks hollow. His barely, you know, big dark bags under his eyes, and you can definitely see that his leg, where the object, you know, the building, whatever, kind of fell on him, is like cracked and broken and jutting off to kind of like a impossible angle. Pale, you know, looks quite pale. Still, but also vaguely sort of translucent. But you can see him, and he's kind of reaching out to you.
What are you doing here?
Bri, you didn't save me. You let me die, Bri.
I did everything I could. You know that.
You should have done more. And he's kind of like shuffling towards you at this point. None else of you can see this. It's just BC.
Okay.
All right. He's sure acting weird, but that's par for the course.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Oh, yeah, he's just acting a little strange there, looks like, I guess. BC.
Right, so I'm responding to something that's not there. And it's obvious that it seems like I'm speaking to someone, someone that I know. And just kind of both begging their forgiveness and also saying we did everything we could. We were trapped alone, miles from anyone.
How is it that you survived and I did not?
Well, it kind of fell on you. You were the one that pushed against
it. You said it was safe, Bri. You said I'd be safe.
I'm a doctor, not an architect.
Can we hear him actually like talking to this? Or
Yeah. Bri is saying what Scott is saying out loud.
Okay.
But you're not hearing the responses.
I look at the mayor. I'm like, you gotta snap him out of this. You scare the hell out of me. You should scare the hell out of him. Wake him up.
Yeah. He's
talking to something.
Stay with us. You gotta stay with us. Going back to a couple of snaps in his face. This place gets in your mind. We were warned about that. Get it out of your mind.
He's right there.
He's gone. Now.
Sorry,
but Jinxus, you're a big tough guy.
Yeah.
You've probably hurt some people that, well, whether or not they deserved it or not, but you've probably hurt some people in your past, right?
Oh, heck yeah.
Tell me about one of them.
Oh, well, one was actually this nice old grandmotherly lady. Everybody in the town really liked her. And there was a, I knew that if it really came down to who was going to be on the, the civic council or whatever I was running for at the time, they'd go for her and not me. Well, I'm not going to say that I, did anything to this old lady. I certainly wouldn't. But I also made sure that the town doctor, who I knew would have to head her way, met with a little bit of an accident so she couldn't get the medicine she needed.
You're sort of maybe shaking BC a little bit and saying, this place gets in your mind. You hear kind of like off to one side, "Oh, Mr. Diogenes." It's a familiar voice.
What is that? I'll whip my head around looking for
she's there. Her hair is kind of long and gray and kind of like maybe flowing behind her as if she were underwater a little bit. Again, she looks pale, skinny, dark bags under her eyes, you can see a bit of like a trace of, I don't know what it is, blue or black, kind of like leading up from her heart to up to her neck, to her face, and she says, "I know what you did, Mr. Diogenes. It's your fault the doctor couldn't get to me. You're a terrible man. You know that."
I didn't, if I thought you could maybe fall a little more ill a spell, I didn't think it'd do you in the way it did.
You knew exactly what would happen to me.
Well, but I didn't mean any of it. Didn't mean it to get so far as it did.
You'll find, Mr. Diogenes, that what you wanted doesn't matter. Only your actions matter. And she's kind of also just sort of like pointing a gnarled finger at you accusatorily during all of this. Again, the rest of you don't see it. Just hear Jinxus talking to somebody.
It's going. Now it's him. Jinxus, stay with us.
Well, how could she even be here?
It's the crystal. We've got to get this crystal under control. It's just reaching out. It's it's what the dark side does.
Oh, man, that's coming here. I'm starting to wonder if it weren't a big mistake.
The old lady is gone.
Oh. I suppose none of you saw an old lady standing up over that way. That was...
Nope, afraid not, friend. It's the same thing.
Nope.
Happened with me.
Nope.
Well, I guess we all got our old ghosts. Yeah, this... Man, this danger ain't at all what I expected to get.
Well, then it's best that we put them all to rest if we can.
Okay.
Rael, as a stormtrooper, you've killed probably dozens of people, right?
Yeah.
Maybe more. You can feel dozens of sets of eyes on you right now. Just in the shadows, just beyond your view and all the nooks and crannies of this workshop, you begin to hear, "You killed us. You killed us. You killed us."
Yes, I did.
Do you think you deserve the power that you have been given? You killed us. You killed us. So just go to the, you know, some of these sentences are coming from like one to your left and ending, you know, starting to your left and ending to your right. This mass in the shadows is kind of speaking in multiple voices simultaneously.
Kind of holds his head. He's like, "But if I can't use the power to make it right, what's it good for?"
It's good. For taking what you want, Rael. You can have whatever you want with this power, Rael. Why, all you need to do is kill your friends there. You're so good at killing that it would be no problem for you, Rael, to just kill those four around you and take the crystal for yourself.
So who's holding the containment thing?
Sure. Yeah. I'll hold it.
Who's taking it? Who has it right now?
Yeah. Ezekiel.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm going to rush Ezekiel. I'm going to take it from him, and then I'm going to do my force kinetic to grab the
burst of speed,
yep.
And then leap and sort of leap your way out or run up the side of this pile and just kind of jam the thing in there.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
It's kind of like he hits a breaking point where the only way to stop and stop the voices is to like action. He just,
I love it.
Got to do it.
What's going on?
Okay. Do you want to do this as an attune check?
Yeah.
Since it's you're tapping into the force, I don't see why not. It's also resisting whatever's going on here. It's a little bit of a devil's bargain, doubled edge here. I think this is still only risky, but it is going to be limited effect because of how powerful this thing is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, lovely.
So spend your... You got to spend your stress, two stress, to push yourself, but you're getting the die on top of your attune for pushing yourself as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You've got gambits. Did you remember to clear your stress during the last downtime? Because you look like you have a lot of it.
Yeah, I have a lot of stress.
You're going to take two. You're going to have a trauma if you do this. Just so you know. Okay.
Oh, if I get up, because I haven't filled
If you fill that bar up, if you,
no,
you,
I haven't
you're
filled,
taking,
I haven't filled it
yet. Yeah, but if you're taking.
I just took.
Oh, you already took it. Okay. Yeah, sorry. I'm looking at your character sheet and seeing you have two. Okay. If you take two more, you're going to go in the trauma.
Yeah, I know.
My apologies.
Yeah.
I mean, but one of these traumas is called haunted. That really feels appropriate. Yeah,
it's going to be great. There's still plenty of time to get more stress. Don't worry about it. Okay. So, but you've got four things here. Four dice.
Yep.
Do you want a devil's bargain? Which is an extra dice. And you can have this extra dice for, you are going to, no matter what happens here, you are going to take level two harm for this. Oh, that seems so, yeah, no, but it's one extra die. Level two harm, of spiritual harm, not physical harm.
Okay.
If you want to take the devil's bargain, that's what it is.
Okay. Level two harm.
Yes. Do you want that?
Sure.
All right.
I was going to say,
super thematic.
I love it. So this is, haunted by your past, level two harm. Psychic harm. Great. So that's five dice you're rolling on this risky, limited effect.
I will say that, let's see, crew member suffers level two or greater harm. We do get a gambit with that.
Oh, great.
Putting it on my under pressure ability.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's risky limited.
Risky limited, yeah.
All right. Wish me luck. So yeah, he grabs it and he's just like, it's gotta be now. And he just rushes it and does this. Just
launches into the air.
This pulse and he just blurs and suddenly he's just like in the air going for the crystal. And
four.
Wow. Great.
Partial.
Okay. You get up there and you close the canister. You get the crystal sort of like just by force. You don't even touch the crystal. You're just sort of like pushing the canister over it, essentially, right? Like you would like a glass on top of a spider you wanted to get outside, right?
Yeah.
But you don't get to close it because this pile of lightsaber hilts begins to crumble beneath you, and as you sort of like tumble a bit to the ground, these lightsaber hilts rise up into the shape of two giant hands that are about to come down on you and crush you. And that's where we'll end this session.
Oh, man.